Janjana, Branja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana, Branja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vana Chaji. Jamuna Tira Vana Chaji. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Haji. Madhava Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Haji. Madhava Kunjabi Haji. Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Jaji. Janabalabha Girivara Jaji. Gopi Janabalabha Girivara Jaji. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vana Chaji. Jamuna Tira Vana Chaji. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivritacharya. Sri Mata's Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Verse 44, Canto 10, Chapter 3. Etadvam darshitam rupam. Prag janma smaranaya me. Nanyata madbhavam jnanam. Marchalingena jayate. Etadvam darshitam rupam. Prag janma smaranaya me. Nanyata madbhavam jnanam. Marchalingena jayate. Itadvam darshitam rupam. Ah. tattvam darshitam rupam prajnana smaranaya me etat. This form of Vishnu, vam, unto both of you, darshitam, has been shown, rupam, my form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead with four hands, prak janma, of my previous appearances, smaranaya, just to remind you, me, my, na, not, anyata, not otherwise, mat bhavam, Vishnu's appearance, jnanam, this transcendental knowledge, marcha lingena, by taking birth like a human child, jayate, does arise. Translation, I have shown you this form of Vishnu, just remind you of my previous births. Otherwise, if I appeared like an ordinary human child, you would not believe that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, has indeed appeared. Purport. Devaki did not need to be reminded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, had appeared as her son. She had already accepted this. Nonetheless, she was anxious. Listen to this. Thinking that if her neighbors heard that Vishnu appeared as her son, none of them would believe it. Therefore, she wanted Lord Vishnu to transform himself into a human child. On the other hand, the Supreme Lord was also anxious, thinking that if he appeared as an ordinary child, she would not believe that Lord Vishnu had appeared. Such are the dealings between devotees and the Lord. The Lord deals with his devotees exactly like a human being. But this does not mean the Lord is one of the human beings, for this is the conclusion of non-devotees, avajananti mamudha manushim tanamashritam. Devotees know the Supreme Personality of Godhead under any circumstances. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. The Lord says, manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances and worship me. A non-devotee cannot believe that simply by thinking of one person one can achieve liberation from this material world and go back home, back to Godhead. But this is a fact. The Lord comes as a human being, and if one becomes attached to the Lord on the platform of loving service, one's promotion to the transcendental world is assured. Which is the conclusion of that same verse from the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that one who does those things, their return to the spiritual world is assured. And one cannot always think of Krishna, etc., without being attached. And the medium of expressing that attachment is devotional service. So, bhakti, yoga, Bhagavat, dharma. The few things, the This is an important section of the Bhagavatam, similar to the first 9 cantos of the Bhagavatam. It helps prepare the reader or the listener of Bhagavat Katha or Krishna Katha to have the right conception instead of the material conception, as is being indicated, manushim tanamashritam, the wrong conception. The material conception is it's mythology, or Krishna accepts a material form that's human-like. And there's the other versions, wrong conception versions. So first 9 cantos are necessary, not optional, to get the proper understanding of the appearance of Krishna, Krishna's activities, particularly Krishna's activities in Vrindavan. Krishna's activities in Vrindavan are celebrated. And how many people understand the transcendental nature of Krishna's activities in Vrindavan? Or Krishna's activities outside of Vrindavan? Because if one can understand them, they're not taking birth again in the material world. If they can understand them, they become attached to the object, Krishna, and they go back to Godhead. Because, attached to the object is through the medium of serving that object. So many people perform service for different reasons. Because it's the right thing to do, that's piety. Because it'll lead to prosperity in this life and after this life. There's so many conceptions. So many. Not hitting the target, not on the mark. Conceptions. So the Bhagavatam, just hearing a lecture where Prabhupada, in Bombay, where Prabhupada is describing the conceptions, we don't engage in interfaith dialogue criticizing other person's faith. We don't hold that disposition. At the same time, we should have a clear sense of a limited and a complete conception of the Supreme. So Prabhupada was explaining in this lecture in Bombay, the conception of God as Father. And he says it right in Bhagavad Gita, it's not a wrong conception. Aham bija pratak pita, I'm the seed-giving Father. But what's the relationship between the children, the child, and the father? Commonly, the father dispenses. The father is the place where the child goes for stuff. Food and maintenance and shelter and protection and needs. Father's love. It's the nature of parenting. Parents love. It's their need to do such things. They do out of love that's centered on a need, an intrinsic need to be protective. And the child naturally has a need to feel protected and safe and cared for and loved. And so a worldly conception is the seed-giving father is the one you go to for stuff. And Prabhupada wasn't detailing it in this manner, but just simply said, the conception is limited. And there's a far more expansive Bhagavat conception of God. not that he's not the seed-giving father, and that needs are to be fulfilled through approaching the seed-giving father, or father, God the Father, who art in heaven. So the Bhagavad conception is much more complete. It's complete, absolutely complete. And so to get the picture of Krishna's activities in Vrindavan and then Mathura and Dwarka, the Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, the original personality, you gotta to get it right, there's the whole first nine cantos before Krishna's appearance is even discussed. Although that's the, we can say, the principal topic of the whole of the Bhagavatam has its preliminary. And even the preliminary is discussed incrementally, starting from Canto 1 and so forth. Not the full picture immediately, but pieces or sound vibrations that allude to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in its original form. And so similarly, as the first nine cantos, so this particular section of the 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam is a prelude to Krishna's transcendental pastimes to help the audience, the reader, the Bhagavat Dharma recipient to have the proper conception. It helps to have the proper conception. It's necessary to have the proper conception to get the full benefit of spiritual activity, even chanting. We have to have proper sambandh again, Haridas Thakur says, in order to get the full benefit of chanting. Even a simple activity that anybody, everybody can do, and is encouraged anybody, everybody should do, please do, become happy, chant and be happy. To get the full happiness, the right proper conception. So the proper conception, it following the methodology of Vyasadeva, little by little, for the reader of the Bhagavatam. Now, the fullness is there from the very beginning, but little by little, and it's all, so it's simultaneous, it's many threads that are making up the cloth, the fabric of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the verse from yesterday cites Jiva Goswami's Krishna Sandarbha. I'd just like to speak on that a little bit. The Sandarbhas mirror Vyasadeva's strategy, because in one sense, one of the features of the Srimad Bhagavatam is it's a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So Vedanta Sutra presents Srimad Bhagavatam in sutra form, and Srimad Bhagavatam presents Vedanta Sutra in an expanded form. And the structure, quickly, is there's six parts to, there's sat, sandarbha, or six. Sad Sandarbha, six of them. The final one is Priti Sandarbha, the goal. Jiva Goswami uses the word Priti, much like Prabhupada would often use the word Prema, Krishna Prema, or Braja Prema. Priti is love. That's the goal. And to enter into the goal, one has to have the medium of devotional service with the right conception. So the medium of devotional service is Sandarbha number 5. That's Bhakti Sandarbha, and it's the largest, very detailed. And then preceding is 3 other Sandarbhas, 2, 3, and 4. And there's logic. Paramatma Sandarbha, Bhagavat Sandarbha, and Krishna Sandarbha. The reference from yesterday's verse is Krishna Sandarbha. And in the logic of why that sequence is, Jiva Goswami is writing, his audience is super scholar people. It's a treatise, it's a fundamental doctrine to withstand anybody, anything, the test of time. And in short, the scholarly people of his time, Kali Yuga was less advanced, and Kali Yuga is now more advanced, and so the Sandarbhas are really high for most people. Too high. So commentary is necessary. Even commentary needs to be simplified so that one can understand what does the commentary say, so one can understand what the Bhagavatam says, so one can understand what Vedanta Sutra says, so you can know the goal of life and how to attain it. So he starts with Paramatma Sandarbha using Radhika Raman's language. It's interesting language, because that was what his PhD was in, Tattva Sandarbha, Paramatma Sandarbha. It's a suppressed, that Krishna's fullness is suppressed. Suppressed means he doesn't exhibit his fullness, not like he's got a psychological problem. Suppressed. He doesn't exhibit his fullness. What Paramatma does is he deals with Prakriti, the function of creation and maintenance and dissolution. That's the Vishnu feeder, which is being shown here. And so to understand, because if we're going to understand God, it comprehensively, it's more than God said, let there be light, and so there was, and it was good. Okay, how does it work? It's in the Bhagavatam, how it works, in multiple places. So, and that's a function. It's the function of creation. It's one of the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam. It's the primary creation, one of the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam. And that's what Paramatma does. And then after elaborately describing the connection between time and Prakriti and the demigods and, you know, the whole relationship between Vishnu and the creation of Vishnu, he moves on to, same as Canto 2, Chapter 2, 1 and 2, he moves on to the personal feature. And he's not yet, it's Krishna is the supreme. It's just, what's the nature of Bhagavan? Because his audience is people that may not accept Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. Even people that accept Narayana or Vishnu or something, not Krishna, as the origin and source of everything. What's the concept of Bhagavan? Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. One of the key verses of the entire Bhagavatam is the one that says, learned Vedantists, they accept the absolute truth as non-dual, and the non-dual absolute truth has different features or aspects. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, and they're all non-dual, they're all absolute. So then comes, after Paramatma, comes Bhagavan, Bhagavat Sandarbha. And then comes, of the forms of Bhagavan, which is the source and who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So this section is really important. His pastimes are going to be described again, very shortly, in Mathura, then quickly to Vrindavan, then back to Mathura, then to Dwarka. But if one has understood correctly, carefully, this, we're hearing, by the grace of Vyasadeva and Shukadeva Goswami and our acharyas, the supreme, the source of everything. With at least the opportunity to be protected from misconceptions, the abundance of misconceptions, or limited conceptions, we can say more softly, limited conceptions. If we hear very carefully, and if we're guided by Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and our successor acharyas, Sridhar Swami, previous acharya, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the misconceptions can be selectively placed, or limited conceptions can be placed in the position of this is limited. So it's a very important section to go on hearing Krishna's pastimes and get it. I mean, what the fullness of what's being given to us. We often hear, according to Padma Purana, the Bhagavatam is a sound vibration form, a literary form of the person. So just like deity worship, there can be limited or wrong conceptions of deity worship, so scripture can also have limited or wrong conceptions. It's nice to get the right conception, then get the full benefit. To have our bhakti fully stimulated up to the stage of Braja Prem. That's the gift. Starting with the holy name and with a superlative assist from the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's a perfect combination. So we can chant with the right conception. And to help us get the right conception, we chant. For cleansing and purification, they go together. Two peas in the same pot, in the Braja Prem pot, in the gift of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in particular. So, this section is really important for getting the right conception and this is the Supreme Lord speaking. You can't get more authoritative than that. And he's speaking to these two pure devotees of his who do understand, both of them, that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Both of them fully understand. Their prayers are really clear. And we discuss, when I was previously here, we were discussing, there's another strain of emotion or sentiment or feeling that's running through Devaki because she was the second one to offer prayers, and that's her motherly spirit, the protection spirit. And apparently, at least from the purport here, some worldly concern. How are other people going to take it? Her neighbors. We live in the world. She's not, well, so she could be like Rishabhdeva, not give a hoot about other people. Or he's the Personality of Godhead, but other devotees may be of that mood. But she's not. She's Kshatriya personality, and so that's part of her, you know, maintaining proper relations. A worldly concern. But the worldly concern, important. The worldly concern is connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She's not a mundane attached lady. It's a transcendental emotion connected to the Personality of Godhead. Very important. And then, so we're hearing, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is concerned, the word that's used in the purport, anxious. She's anxious and he's anxious. But it's not a mundane anxiety. There's a world of difference, a light and darkness world of difference between transcendental emotion and mundane emotion. Our anxiety is profit and loss and, you know, having something, losing something. Anxiety, fear. So he has anxiety. Let's just read it again. The Supreme Lord was also anxious, thinking that if he appeared as an ordinary child, she would not believe that Lord Vishnu had appeared. Now, exactly what does it that anxiety feel like for him? Who can say? But feeling anxious. So there's a need, just like Mir Krishna Maharaj's. He has a transcendental need. His transcendental need is he wants to reciprocate with the love of Devaki. Now there's, as mentioned, there's two features. There's he's the Supreme Personality, Godhead side, and then I'm the mother side. And there's competing emotions, transcendental emotions. So he's now choosing to address and have the emotion that addresses the concern that she should not think that he is an ordinary child. That is to say, if he appeared in a little baby form, that might happen. This is my child. Now, that's natural for a mother to think this is my child, but she has this other feature in her, and so it's a checkmate. She can't go there. And he shows the form and he explicitly tells her. And it's love. Love at first sight. And it's transcendental reciprocation of emotion. And connecting to the previous verse and the subsequent verses, very important for understanding Krishna, so we can go back to Godhead, to Krishna Loka, and that is this feature, as was discussed through the previous verses, this feature of the four-handed Lord Vishnu, it is Krishna. It's an expansion of Krishna. It's not the original form of Krishna, but it's in every sense Krishna. The form is Krishna. It's his direct expansion. So Jiva Goswami comments further. In addition to the Sandarbha commentary, he wrote another commentary just on the 10th canto, and it's he speaks of this feature of the original form of Krishna, who is in shortly going to be manifest in Vrindavan, whether it's the Vasudev Krishna four-armed or the Swayam Bhagavan Krishna two-armed, there's the capacity for Krishna to manifest himself however he likes. And so, fast forwarding a bit, this is chapter 3. In chapter 13 of the 10th canto, there's this fantastic display of another very important chapter that there's abundant commentary by Jiva Goswami about what Brahma saw, the mystical display of Brahma, or before Brahma, of Krishna before Brahma. So Krishna was showing he's the original source of everything. And so first it was the cowherds, boys and calves were gone. Just Krishna in his childhood form. It's text 18 of chapter 14 where Brahma's offering prayers and he's describing what he saw and the mercy that he felt and understood that Krishna was offering him. That is, no calves, no cowherd boys, because Brahma put them in caves. And then, identical forms of the calves and cowherd boys, showing that the ones that were in the cave are manifestations of Krishna's energy, and he can personally manifest himself. He could, you know, could have just presented replicas. But, you know, different jivas manifesting those forms, but it was himself manifesting those forms for another purpose. And then those forms showing simultaneously those forms and Vishnu forms or Narayana forms. And the Narayana forms are being worshipped by all the demigods and sages and the unlimited potencies, mentioning them in the verses of chapter 13, including Brahma himself, worshipping each of these forms of Lord Narayana and Vishnu. Interesting. Brahma was seeing himself, worshipping, similar to what Mother Jasoda was seeing. That's another very important section of Krishna Sandarbha, understanding Krishna, the small child of Mother Jasoda, is the source of everything. So she saw inside Krishna's mouth everything, including herself looking inside Krishna's mouth. Brahma saw everybody and all his potencies, including the material potencies personified, big cacophony of sound, glorifying and worshipping that form of Narayana or Vishnu, and all of those surrounding the calves and cowherd boys that were also Krishna. And Krishna. Then everything disappeared. So this is Vedanta, the search for that which is the source of everything. Krishna showed. He, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna in Vrindavan, is the source of everything. So he's in just words expressing this to Devaki. And, of course, Vasudev, both of them. Etat Vam, this form of Vishnu unto both of you has been shown. He loved them. They love him. He's reciprocating. And he's giving them, and by giving them, he's giving us, through the agency of our acharyas, a clear picture of his transcendental nature, janma karma chame divyam, and that Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, the message of the Bhagavatam, is that Krishna is the source of that, because he withdraws the Vasudeva Krishna form shows a childlike form and then instructs the childlike form should be taken to Braja. One last thing. These Braja pastimes are very celebrated. And I've often thought, maybe some of you have also had the same thought, what about all the other, 999 yuga cycles when Krishna doesn't appear? How much knowledge and awareness and fascination and attraction is there for Krishna's pastimes in Braja? Because it just happened the previous yuga. In those verses that he spoke before these, he's describing, it gives the names of the previous yugas in which he appeared two times, and now he's appearing this time as the son of the same parents who each time has become the mother, father of the Supreme Personality of God, a transcendental appearance. They have that service because they have that affection and that purity. And as he says, they have the Shila Odarya Gunai. They have the transcendental qualities of good character and magnanimity. And the verse Prabhupada says simplicity. They have the qualification, he appears as their son. But he is the Supreme Lord. No mistake. He shows it, he says it. No mistake. That Prishni Garba, by the way, is the same name spoken of in relation to Dhruva Maharaj. When Dhruva Maharaj sees Lord Vishnu standing before him, the name in the verse of the Bhagavatam is Prishni Garba, which means the child of Prishni, that form, Prishni Garba. So, but what Krishna is showing here is the preliminary to Swayam Bhagavan Krishna and then his wonderful pastimes. Easy to not properly understand. Exceptional to properly understand. And the Bhagavatam is meant to nourish that proper understanding. And there's plenty of opportunity to properly understand if one hears very carefully from the right source with a heart that's become prepared through the cleansing of the potency of the holy name, where you don't have to have intellectual acumen or sharpness of memory or anything. Just have to hear and the heart becomes cleansed. And then when hearing the Bhagavatam verses, just by chanting the Bhagavatam verses, purification is also taking place because it's the literary presentation of Krishna. And now we're getting way up, not just the lotus feet, first two cantos, but we're at this 10th canto place. So as the classes go on, going out over the rest of the summer and into the fall and so forth, we should be transcendentally mindful of what happened before, because otherwise it's easy to have a wrong conception or a limited conception and not get the full benefit. It's real easy. Just be lazy. It's real easy. So there's some work, spiritual work, needed to get the fullness. And the impetus, the why that helps the proper hearing is, I want to know. Or more maturely, I want to be in my relationship with Krishna. Or somewhere in that area. If the impetus, if the purpose is very clear, that'll help. Okay, so, and see if there's discussion.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, the last sentence of this purport mentions, if one becomes attached to the Lord on the platform of loving service, one's promotion to the transcendental world is assured. So my question is, what is the likelihood of being transferred to the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, prior to that awakening?
Prior to that?
To that awakening. You described this Braja Prema.
Prior to that awakening. Why are you asking that question?
Because I'm trying to understand the...
Let me ask it the question, respond differently. Are you aware of some reference from comments of Acharyas that says, yes?
No.
No. I'm not either. The awakening can happen, ideally even, during this lifetime, and during this lifetime one can be such a resident. Nice example, Canto 3, Chapter 2, Uddhava. Right before Maitreya's eyes, Vidura's eyes, he went to Krishna. His body was there, but he went to Krishna. So, but the awakening was awakened. And it was facilitated in many ways by Krishna's association and Krishna sending him to Vrindavan and so many things. Because there was the intimacy of loving service, and that was being nourished by Krishna's kind arrangements. But my understanding, unless you're or somebody else is aware otherwise from our acharyas, during this lifetime, yes, but not until that Krishna prema awakens. When can one go there? You go there by qualification. You enter into fire by being fire, and not otherwise. A little detail is, Krishna's worldly pastimes, or Brahma Leela, are non-different than his transcendental pastime, but before when it is said, before one returns to Krishna Loka, one enters into Krishna's pastimes in his Bhoma Leela. And if there is still some residual requirement, that residual requirement is met that way, by being trained by the eternal associates when one is not yet fully qualified.
It just seems sometimes in our society, oftentimes when devotees leave their body, there seems to be a general notion that they went back to Godhead. There seems a little bit...
It's a general notion.
A liberal...
It's very liberal.
A liberal, you know, notion that, okay, they practiced, and therefore they went back to Godhead.
So that's where your question is coming from?
Yeah, there's a sense of that. I hear, I get that impression sometimes, and it to me, it... It's a little different than, as we're saying, what the acharyas outline as the actual...
Well, again, an arrangement may be where, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and predecessor acharyas, one gets the special dispensation and enters into Krishna's pastime, Bhoma Leela pastimes, and gets the residual need taken care of. Goes back to Godhead in capsule form rather than unpacking it. Goes back to Godhead. That potency to deliver Krishna is entrusted to Krishna's devotee. Such devotee as our founder Acharya, and even the Madhyamas, they're given power of attorney to give Krishna. Now, there's degrees of purity and degrees of empowerment, but to do anything takes empowerment. So we want, of necessity, we want the mercy of the representatives of Krishna, his devotees, and we want to be very careful not to offend, because Krishna can withdraw that access to the descending mercy, and that's not good for us. We want to carefully guard against that. Something else? Yes?
Class reminded me of one of the last verses of the ninth canto. It was a verse that said that the Lord acted in such a way just so the future devotees in Kali Yuga...
He acted in such a way to do what?
So the future devotees of Kali Yuga could hear about his activities and become purified.
Okay.
And I'm just...
That's not the only reason, but that's one of so many.
Right. I think it's a really nice meditation. I don't have an exact comment exactly, but it just reminded me, of how fortunate it is we have the opportunity to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam with and the great fortune that we're in appearing right now, being here in Kali Yuga, the opportunity to hear about Krishna and his most, you know, intimate manifestation.
And let's add, hearing from the right source. Hmm. Have you met people? I have. Who, even young people, you know, from childhood, they heard from their grandfather who regularly read Srimad Bhagavatam. And there's some devotion to Krishna having heard the Bhagavatam. And they have misconceptions, or limited and or misconceptions, because they haven't heard from the right source. But they're attracted, because Krishna is all attractive. So we're especially fortunate. Lifetimes of sorting through misconceptions and limited conceptions, and lifetimes we've been spared by the abundant compassion of a person whose audience was the world. Powered because of that compassion and the instruction to do so. So, every town and village and so forth. Amazing. Very special. Very fortunate. And we just happened to be in the right place at the right time, somehow. Yadrichchaya is the Sanskrit term. Somehow or other. Causeless. Somehow or other. The cause is the mercy of Krishna empowering a pure devotee who then uses that mercy in an empowered way. And we have the opportunity to receive and then act as instruments. Little do we know that what that potency is. But we're, you know, gradually discovering. Receive and give. Others? Subal, you usually have something. Okay. Yeah, okay.
We brought this up yesterday in the class, and the fact that Vasudeva and Devaki, Prabhupada mentions, are the eternal parents, eternally connected with Krishna as parents. Yet they're describing three previous births. But if they're eternal, then it's unlimited births. Why only three are mentioned, that in three births you'll have me as your son?
You have to ask Vyasadeva why only three were mentioned.
But in every incarnation, they serve that function?
I haven't heard anything on that topic from our acharyas? Cannot say. These are, you know, these are all transcendental messages, and how are we going to understand transcendence unless it's disclosed? If they're eternal associates, they're eternal associates. So eternal associates have an eternal relationship with, and how that manifests itself, they can be very diverse. But if they're eternal associates, they're eternal associates. It's not that every yuga, four cycles of yugas, it's a rerun for with them.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, I guess in Mathura and Dwarka, they are serving eternally in those realms, the Nitya region, as Krishna's parents.
So then the aprakat and prakat may not always, well, that may not, are not always going to be the same. The prakat can be quite different. For variety is the mother of enjoyment. So, as an example, there's a couple of them, but one example is in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, where, well, two. The pastime of Krishna departing Vrindavan is described very differently than it's described in Srimad Bhagavatam. And the subduing of Arishtasura is described very differently than in the Bhagavatam. And the commentary says these are different manifestations of Krishna in Vrindavan, and sometimes the Prakat Leela of Krishna in Vrindavan has essential elements, but there's details that are variegated. And it's not that, you know, mandatory that the acharya, in this case, Shukadeva Goswami, the speaker of the Bhagavatam, says, and oh, by the way, there's different appearances of Krishna and Vrindavan that have variegated features. There's a limit to 18,000 verses. And so the other presentations are not like Brihat Bhagavatamrita's presentation. Is not a creative writing speech by Sanatana Goswami. He is describing Krishna appearing in other. So it can be very. There are variegated manifestations of Krishna's eternal pastimes when it comes to prakat. But the bhava is the same. The mood of love is the same. And there's variety, naturally so. Srila Prabhupada ki.